Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is the award-winning journalist Robert Cox, who has been called the hero of Argentine journalism as the editor of the English-language Buenos Aires Herald during the dirty war of the 1970s and 80s. He risked his life to report kidnappings, torture, and murder of thousands of Argentines by the military government. For his courage, Cox was awarded the Maria Moores Cabot Medal from Columbia University and was appointed officer of the Order of the British Empire for services to international journalism. He's the subject of the book Dirty Secrets, Dirty War, The Exile of Robert J. Cox, written by his son David Cox, and he is now a columnist with the Buenos Aires Herald. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Cox.
Thank you. Great pleasure to be talking to you.
And I take it you see Argentina as very much your country. Or
we spend roughly half the year there, 4 to 5 months a year. Because our family, we had to go into exile, so our family is split up. We have just one son living in Argentina, and the other four children are with us here in Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. But we spend every winter, or I sometimes like to think every spring. So we have two springs or two winters, whichever way you look at it, in Buenos Aires. I'm very much involved, and I write a column for the Herald, which I used to edit.
Well, so we thought your country was out of the woods, but apparently not. There's a run on the currency. The president, she seems to be absent without leave. The New York Times carried a story a couple of days ago that was fairly dire in the sense that it seems to be sort of politically and economically leaderless. Is it that bad?
Yeah, I think it is that bad. It is that bad. And it's been a slow slide, a gradual process, which, to my mind, is very similar in some ways to the way in Argentina during the when people started to disappear. You could actually see people being picked up off the streets, and it was fairly common knowledge what was happening, but people managed to ignore it. Argentina did very well for the first 5 years of the last decade when Nestor Kirchner came in, largely because they had a tremendous return from exports, particularly soy, selling to China, and the country was for a while awash in money, which the government did some good things. They brought in a child payment to pay for children and done a number of things like that. But at the same time, under Cristina, it has become something like as if the country is run by a mad queen. And over the New Year and Christmas, she didn't even say to the people of Argentina, you know, happy holidays or happy New Year. She had some medical problems, but she's had them from time to time. She came back with a will a little while ago, and then now she seems to have vanished. She's tried to reshuffle her cabinet, banishing one of the most unpopular members of her team, a man called Moreno, who ran the economy like as if he was a mafia boss. He used to bring people in and businessmen and shout at them, and it's become quite chaotic there. And then over on top of that, immediately after the Minister of Planning announced that there would be no problems with power cuts, which tend to happen in very hot Buenos Aires summer, and there were massive power cuts and thousands of people without water because there was no electricity. We have a friend, 86-year-old friend, living on an eighth floor. She relied on neighbors bringing her buckets of water, and she was out of power for something like 2 weeks. Other people have been out for months.
So
it's a very sad situation, extremely sad situation. It seems to happen about every 10 years. Argentina seems to collapse.
Well, there was a period of Menem where he appeared to be looting the country.
He was.
And her fortunes have increased while the country's fortunes have decreased. Is she still in Cuba?
No, she's back from Cuba. It was a strange visit. She came back and then she had a minor medical problem and went to hospital when she came back and then got very angry with the press for reporting it. But we still have the impression that she's not running things completely. And so you have contradictions all the time. One minister says one thing and another minister says another thing. And, you know, then there is the problem, once again, of corruption in Argentina. It's come very much to the fore. The president herself, Cristina, has managed to increase her wealth while she's been in office by about 10 times. And she's a tremendously large landowner in the south now, and there are many, many questions raised about her fortunes.
Again, I'm speaking with award-winning journalist Robert Cox, who has been called the hero of Argentine journalism as the editor of the English-language Buenos Aires Herald during the dirty war of the 1970s and 1980s. He risked his life to report kidnappings, torture and murder of thousands of Argentines by the military government. For his courage, Cox was awarded the Maria Moores Cabot Medal from Columbia University and was appointed Officer of the Order of the British Empire for services to international journalism. He's the subject of the book Dirty Secrets, Dirty War, The Exile of Robert J. Cox, written by his son David Cox. So, given the history here of Perón and his various wives, and then Menem, as we mentioned, looting the country, and now this mad queen, as you described her, who seems to be AWOL at a critical moment when there's a run on the banks, what explains the dysfunction? Because this is ultimately a very rich country, with, you know, endowed with natural resources and talented people. So why is it so dysfunctional?
I think it's a problem of identity. There is always the feeling that of Argentines have that they're at the end of the world. And it's quite interesting that now Argentina has an Argentine pope, Pope Francis, and when he appeared at the balcony, he said, "I'm a man from the end of the world." Of course, mass communications have changed all that, but Argentina has not managed to establish its identity. And what we're seeing now, too, not, of course, thank God, with murder, torture, and everything that we had to deal with under the military government, but at the same time a tremendous polarization between the right and the left, with the media cut in two too, so that it's very difficult for the average Argentine to get the truth about anything, because they have to choose very often between black and white, and when they choose white, they stay with white and believe white, and when they're with the other side, they'll believe everything from that side. And that makes it very difficult for the country to reach rational decisions, completely sort of bipolar in that way. And unfortunately, Cristina reflects that, because she has completely changed her policies on a number of things. From the point of view, she said there would never be a devaluation, and of course they devalued 8% over a month. The peso has gone from when we were there from 1 or 2 years ago from 4 to 12, which is on what they call the blue market. Don't like to talk about the black market. This, of course, has led to enormous amount of speculation and straightforward profiteering on the exchange market.
Well, in effect, her mismanagement has fueled the black market, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, because people, it's a terribly sad sight to see. And to talk to friends, there are queues of people outside the bank waiting to be allowed to buy small sums of dollars, which has to go through the FIP, which is the equivalent of the IRS. It's the tax, and everything has to be approved by them. People are so desperate that the dollar for them means some kind of comfort for their retirement.
So, Robert Cox, what about, I mean, I don't know whether one can psychoanalyze a country.
We've often tried to do it. In fact, I used to write that what the country needed, if there was such a thing as some body that did psychoanalyze countries.
Well, if one were to, wouldn't you first of all come to the conclusion that this is still a wounded country? I mean, there aren't too many, in quotes, civilized countries that turn on themselves in the vicious way that the dirty war did, where a group of its citizens murdered another group of its citizens without any compunction whatsoever, and in the most unbelievably brutal way.
No, exactly. That is, and I've often used that expression, it is wounded, and that's one of the explanations. There are many, many reasons. And it is fairly simple to work out what went wrong in Argentina, and what went wrong was in 1931, when the military came in, staged the first coup in a country that was very progressive at that time, was very rich, At one time, the rate of economic growth was outpaced that of the United States. The army came in, and they never really left until the end of this appalling dictatorship from 1976 to the end of 1983, in which the military discredited themselves finally when the Argentine people woke up, when they went to war over what the Argentines call the Malvinas and the British call the Falkland Islands, and it was such a resounding defeat for the military that they slunk back to their barracks and have made a few attempts later on to undermine democracy, but they seem to be out of the picture at the moment. But even in that situation, Cristina, as we all call her, made an incredible. She chose as the army commander-in-chief, essentially the commander of all the three forces, a man who is charged with causing the disappearance of a young conscript. This is General Milani, which was an incredible thing to do, when perhaps the greatest thing that this government did was to bring these military monsters, and that is not an exaggeration, they were monsters, to trial, finally. And that, of course, has wounded the country. It's a country with a wounded psyche, a country that hasn't yet managed its identity. At the same time, it's going to get things right sooner or later. The people are wonderful people. As I said, it's a psychological case. I think you hit it very well. We have more psychologists and psychoanalysts, more shrinks in Argentina than any other country in the world, particularly in Buenos Aires. And Buenos Aires itself might be a bit of a problem because it is so overpopulated. And the rest of the... We traveled down south, and it's just extraordinary to see this incredibly fertile country and beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And, of course, it's so different from the rest of Buenos Aires. It becomes a fascinating place. One becomes fascinated by it.
So is there any sense then of a way out, given the history of these recurrent lootings and dysfunctions that destroy the economy, then it slowly built back because it's inherently a wealthy country with natural resources and, again, the talented people? You would think that having the Argentine Pope may have been a shot in the arm. I mean, is there any... I don't want to be too pessimistic here, but... Is there a way out if you got an absentee landlord here who, as you described earlier, as the Mad Queen? That doesn't sound particularly encouraging as long as she's around.
No, I think, the answer is democracy. Argentina has to have the patience to put up with another 2 years so that she finishes her term, which hasn't happened for a long time. The military government came into power when they could have allowed Perón's widow to continue for a little while longer. No, it's the important thing is democracy, working within, respecting the rules, respecting rule of law. It will come gradually, but this is going to be the test. The next 2 years are going to be the test of Argentina. There's no reason why they shouldn't pull through economically. The country has enough, although reserves have been enormously depleted, there's no reason whatsoever why Argentina should not be able to get to 15 and elect another government. And I think that this country has a possibility to become a very fine country in every way.
Well, the irony, of course, of the Falklands or Malvinas War was that it took Margaret Thatcher, in effect, to get rid of this horrible military government. And is there any possibility that any outside forces could affect things? You know, we have here in the United States, I remember recently covering one of these vulture capitalist funds that are going after Argentina's debt. It sounds like there are still, you know, sort of outside predators as opposed to those that want to help.
Well, they're called the vulture funds here, and Cristina was very hard on them, but then she decided that she was going to repay them. She was going to pay them. Argentines like to think that they are the victims of a malignant forces outside, and this just isn't true. It makes them feel more comfortable about it because it enables them to transfer the blame to other people. And Argentina has got to get over all those things. I mean, again, using your term, I mean, it needs to sort of lie down on the couch and pour out all its grief and all its worries and all its megalomania about Argentina being this victim and of the outside world, and sort it all out and get back to the business of holding elections on time, and then respecting democracy, respecting the law. The Supreme Court is reasonable now. For many years, the Supreme Court really institutionalized corruption. There are many things to believe that things will get better. The thing is, they have to get better in a real way, not in an artificial way. This government has tried very hard to use propaganda to convince the people that they're living in the best of all worlds. For a long time, Cristina would tell Argentines that the world was collapsing around them and only Argentina was strong. She said, we are armored against what is happening in the outside world. Again, very similar to the method used by the military, who used to actually create their own newsreels to convince Argentines that the world outside was violent and Argentina was, I'll use the words they use, it was an oasis of tranquility in a troubled world.
But that's not going to come back, is it? The military. I mean, you may have
a delusional leader in
Cristina.
That might, in fact, bring all Argentines together if the military tried to, because I think then the vast majority of Argentinians would rise up, as they nearly did when the military under Raul Alfonsín, a fine man and a good president, but he had to leave early because he was undermined by the trade unions and, of course, by continual problems with the military staging little uprisings, little rebellions. At that time, the people, I think, of Argentina, he decided not to. He wasn't going to risk. And so he came to terms with the military and agreed that he would not pursue trials against them. And so the people sort of stepped down. But I was in Argentina at that time, and the people would have gone to the military, and I think it would have pulled everybody together. Argentina has chances again and again and again. And I remember once an economist correspondent came, and he said, Argentina is like a poor little rich boy or a poor little rich girl who just has too much and wastes everything, squanders everything.
Well, Robert Cox, I thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate it.
No, it's a great pleasure to talk to you. I mean, one agonizes about Argentina. It's still, you know, the point is, I mean, this is the basic thing. This government has not set out to deal with its enemies in the way that enemies have been dealt with in the past, whether it was under Perón when he came to power and his was a popular dictatorship, and it's certainly not as under the military. People are not disappearing. We don't hear too much about torture. Life is frustrating there, but Argentina has the wherewithal to move ahead, to become a very civilized country. The economy, I don't think, unlike most people, I don't think the economy really is that important. The economy is something, it is so rich that eventually they can achieve a far more equal country, and I very much hope that will happen. We'll be returning in June or July for another 4 or 5 months there, and
well, I hope
that we will see that by that time the attitude in Argentina has turned.
There will
be an absolute commitment to democracy. That's what is needed, a real commitment to democracy.
Well, we'll stay in touch then, and I thank you very much for joining us, Robert
Cox.
No,
thank you very much. It's a great pleasure. It's always nice to talk about Argentina.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Cox, who's been called the hero of Argentine journalism, as the editor of the English-language Buenos Aires Herald during the dirty wars of the 1970s and 1980s. He risked his life to report kidnappings, torture, and murder of thousands of Argentines by the military government. For his courage, Cox was awarded the Maria Moores Cabot Medal from Columbia University and was appointed Officer of the Order of the British Empire for services to international journalism. He is the subject of the book Dirty Secret, Dirty Wars, The Exile of Robert J. Cox, written by his son David Cox, and he is now a columnist with the Buenos Aires Herald. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer David Rochert. This program is available for podcast at ianmasters.com. We can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
The man she loved.